Good morning, Jesus disciples. Groups can be known for lots of different things. People, groups get some sort of stereotype. Sometimes they're good, sometimes they're bad. Sometimes, you know, Astros are cheaters. We just think that now. Astros cheat. Apple sells really expensive but great products. That's what they're known for. McDonald's food is so processed it'll last you 20 years and there'll be no mold on it. Preachers drone on forever. Thank you for not amening that part. But groups, just groups naturally, they get to develop an identity. They develop characteristics that they're kind of known for. And the question that popped into my mind this morning was, what is Stonebridge known for? We are a group. We're a group of people and individuals. And what are we known for? And if people observed us for a month, what would they say are some defining characteristics about Stonebridge? And I've been thinking about this week, and there were a lot of answers to that question. I want to be known for lots of good things. But if there's one thing I really want to be known for, it's that Stonebridge is a praying church. That Stonebridge people pray. That our church is a church made up of people who are constantly praying. That we wear out our knees because we pray so much. And in light of just how important prayer is, we want to just look at prayer. We want to say, we want to be like the disciples who asked Jesus, teach us how to pray. And we want to look through Scripture and help develop and further understanding of what is prayer and how do we pray and what does it look like for Christians corporately and individually? How should we pray? And so we've gone through some different passages in the Bible that talk about prayer, and I really think that our guiding passage has been what is commonly called the Lord's Prayer, maybe more accurately called the model prayer, because it's Jesus modeling for us how we should pray. And we said this is the basic framework of Jesus teaching us how to pray. And as we look through the whole of Scripture and the entire witness of Scripture, how should we pray? And so last week we looked at one line of that model prayer, give us today our daily bread. And what does it look like to pray when we ask God for stuff? That it isn't the entirety of prayer, but it is a good portion of prayer. And so we should pray these things. And when we pray, give us, Lord, our requests. How do we do that? And so today we're going to continue in this study of prayer. How do we pray? And what I want to look at today, and I want to see and open Scripture and have God teach us through His Word, is what does it look like to pray in the will of God? In the model prayer, the third line, Jesus says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so what does it mean to pray that prayer? What does it mean to pray for God's will? Or how do we pray in the will of God? How do we pray for God's kingdom to come? And so to answer this question today, I want to do what we often do in life, and that's observe others. That there are so many instances in life when we learn best by observing what other people do. That Bob Ross was a firm believer that anyone can learn to paint. Just observe what he does and you can paint too. That I learned at a very young age by observing my brother that it is best not to talk back to my parents. Nothing good ever comes from it. That we learn a whole host of things in life by observing. And so what I want to do today is observe Christians who prayed. Who prayed for God's kingdom to come and God's will to be done so that we can learn by observation. This is how we pray this prayer. And so we're going to look at two different Bible passages this morning that I think really grasp this idea of praying for God's kingdom to come and His will to be done. So let's grab your Bibles. We're going to start in the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 1, right at the beginning. Colossians chapter 1, page 1828 in the Church Bible. Colossians chapter 1, and we're going to start in verse 3. Here is the word of the Lord. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all God's people, the faith and love that springs from the hope stored up for you in heaven and about which you have already heard in the true message of the gospel that has come to you. In the same way, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace. You learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. Now, that's a pretty wordy intro, and if you ever do some study on all of Paul's intros, he's a king of run-on sentences, especially in his introduction. But look at what he is doing when he starts his introduction. The very first thing that he wants to tell this church in Colossae is that he is praying. He is praying for this church, that he is thanking God in his prayers. Why? Because of the faith and love this particular church has shown throughout the world. That he is hearing reports, and he mentions this guy named Epaphras, who's an incredible character. You should look him up sometime. But he has heard reports from this guy saying that this church's faith and love is evident across the world. And so Paul says, I am praying and thanking my God that you guys are carrying out the faith. But it's not just the book of Colossians. I just want to look at this book. But when you read a lot of Paul's intros, almost always the first thing he says, whether it's to the Ephesians or the Thessalonians, to Timothy, all of them, like Paul is praying. He always starts off by saying, I am praying for you. That, and I think it just shows the heart of Paul. He cares for the people he ministers to, that this man went around for 30-plus years setting up churches, planting churches all around the Mediterranean Sea, and that Paul cares for the people, that even when he leaves them, he is thinking about them, he is praying for them, and he's writing them letters. That Paul had a heart for the people he ministered to. And the best thing Paul thought I could do for my churches once I leave is to keep praying for them, to keep on praying. And I'm just thinking, what would that look like for Paul? I mean, is every day a different day? Right, Mondays I pray for this church, Tuesdays I pray for this church, or maybe it's different times of the day. In the morning I'm praying for this church. And when you start to think about how many churches Paul planted, you're like, this guy was praying a lot. Like, he spent a lot of time praying for different churches, and I would imagine it probably took him a while, and yet he is committed to prayer, praying for others. And the first thing I just want to stop here and just observe is, what does it look like to pray? It looks like to pray for other Christians. Now, for me personally, I'm not Paul. I haven't gone all around a big body of water planting churches. But I'm a part of a local church. I have friends and I have connections to other churches around this globe. And I, just like Paul, can be praying for them. And I know that you guys all have connections to not just this church and the believers here, but churches all over, and that we can be just like Paul and follow his model and say, I want to pray for them. And I think about our church as we have financially committed for years, right? We have helped a church in northern Japan, right? The Robesons. We can pray for them. That we have helped for years a church in Brazil, and a few years ago we even helped them build their own church building financially. We can continue to pray for Alex and Kelly. And that Jonas and Crystal were here for a year and a half, and we've sent them out to plant a new church in northern Uruguay, and we can pray for them. And Jonathan is constantly going out and speaking to other Christians who are going out to plant churches around the globe, and we can pray for John, and we can pray for the entire crew mission. Because this is who we are, just our local church. These are just our connections and the churches that we're connected with, and we, just like Paul, should be praying for them. But I love that it's not just praying for them, but it's thanking God that because of the gospel going out, because the message of Jesus is spreading around the globe, that this is worth rejoicing over. That this is truly what gets Paul so excited in life that he can look back on his years and see the results of his efforts, that through the power of the Spirit and through his efforts, he has planted churches and people, more and more people are coming to know Jesus. that Paul is totally sold out for the mission of taking Jesus to the globe, and nothing gets him more excited and more passionate than seeing other Christians living out the faith. For those of you that were here yesterday to celebrate Dwayne's life, I can easily say this morning, gladly say this morning, that I thank God for Dwayne and his heart to serve his God. That we heard of his love and his service for the saints yesterday as people shared. And I am so thankful for Dwayne's faithfulness. That when we see Christians serving God, thank God for them. Thank God for what he is doing around the globe. And so the first thing, Paul is committed to praying for Christians. But what specifically is he praying for them for? Let's keep reading. Verse 9. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Another mouthful. But what a beautiful sentence. What a beautiful sentence of Paul teaching us that we can observe Paul and how he is praying for these churches, is praying for these Christians. And if I just had to summarize with a few words, Paul is praying for the growth and development of their faith. That when Paul thinks about these churches and these Christians, he is praying for their growth and their maturity and their development as disciples of Jesus. And he will not stop. This language, right, we continually ask God that he is doing this constantly. And let's quickly, I know it's a long list. I just want to highlight a couple things. And the first thing I want to highlight is this, that Paul prays for their mind. Paul prays that they grow in knowledge of the will of God through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives. It lines up perfectly with what I want to talk about this morning, praying your kingdom come, your will be done. That the first thing Paul says is, I am praying that you would have knowledge of God's will through the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives. That Paul wants to say, it is so important that God's people know the will of God. How can we pray for God's will be done if we don't know what God's will is? And so Paul says, I am praying that he will fill you with the knowledge of his will. Now, this phrase, the will of God, I don't want this to be some esoteric phrase that sounds all mysterious and spiritual and we have no idea what it means. The will of God is simply the things that God desires. What does God want? That's the will of God. And I don't think we'll ever, this side of eternity, ever fully understand the will of God, but we can know God's will. God has made his will clear, and they're all over the Bible. 1 Thessalonians 4:3 says it is God's will that we are sanctified. That's the will of God. We're sanctified. It goes on to say it is God's will that we avoid sexual immorality. That's the will of God. 1 Timothy 2:4 says that God wants all people to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. That's the will of God. The two greatest commands when Jesus is asked, Jesus says to love the Lord your God with everything and love your neighbor as yourself. This is the will of God. This is what God wants. And so even though maybe we don't fully understand the full extent of what is the will of God, and maybe we don't fully understand in our particular specific circumstances what is the will of God in these things, we can say, generally speaking, we know what God wants. We know what God desires. And so we want to learn to pray in line with God's will. That we want to pray, God, help us carry out the things that we know. And then more than that, I think what Paul's really getting at, we want to say, God, show me what you're doing in my life. Give me knowledge of your will as you are interacting in my world and our world on the day-to-day. Show me where your heart is. Show me the people in my life that you want me to be with. And show me, God, What is your specific will in these specific situations? This is how we pray for other people. And the full extent of God's will is that his kingdom is over this entire universe. That God is working ever since mankind sinned to say, I want to bring back my kingdom, bring back my rule over this entire universe. And so we can say without fail that that is always God's will, to bring this world back to him, to redeem and to restore everything that has been broken. And so Paul starts off by saying, I'm praying for you, and I'm praying for your growth, and the first area I want you to grow in is your mind. God, give them the knowledge of your will in your heart. Help their minds to be shaped so that they know the types of things that you desire. And so this is how we ought to be praying for one another, praying that we grow in knowledge of his will. But it's not only just knowledge. It goes in line with the very next thing that Paul prays for, because it's not just knowing something, it's putting it into practice. Verse 10. So that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience. That the second thing Paul prays for is their actions, their behavior, that Paul prays they would truly live out their faith. Paul prays that we would live, that the Colossian church, and by extension every Christian, would live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way. It's not just enough to pray for a development of the mind, to learn more. It has to be put in practice, because Paul knows that not everyone who says they follow God truly lives it out. That following Jesus isn't just some intellectual exercise or mental acknowledgement. It's something that has to be put into practice. And so Paul prays for the church, God, I pray that you would move their hearts so that they would live out their faith, that the way that they live and act on the day-to-day is something that pleases you. I know the road is tough, Paul prays. Give them the strength to persevere. And as I read this prayer of Paul's in the intro to Colossians, this question pops in mind is, how often do we hear prayers like this? Maybe even more specifically, how often do we pray like this for others? Do we pray for the growth of others' knowledge of God? Do we pray for their ability to live out their faith and to please God in every way? I don't want to step on anyone's toes this morning, but we are called to pray for so much more than people's physical needs. That this model of prayer that we observe Paul praying for this church, and if you read the intro to Ephesians and 1 Thessalonians, you'll see the same sorts of things that Paul says. That is praying for so much more than just physical needs. That the most important thing people need in life is knowledge of the Savior. That I need more and more knowledge of the will of God than anything else in this life. Don't hear me saying this morning, we shouldn't pray for other things. We definitely should. And I think even this morning as we prayed for people's physical needs and healing, this is a good thing. James says we should pray for those who are sick. Jesus teaches us to pray for our daily bread, meaning our physical needs. It is good to pray for those things. But that's not it. We should pray for so much more, and that the spiritual development and growth of Christians is so high on the list, because this is God's kingdom come and his will be done. It's kind of like a smartphone, that if you only use a smartphone for texting, like, you're just missing out. There is so much more that smartphone can do. And in the same way, in prayer, there is so much more to pray for than just physical needs. They're a good thing, but there is so much more to pray for. And that Paul wants to teach us, pray for the growth, the development, the character, the carrying out of people's faith. And so this is the first thing that I want us to observe this morning of what it looks like to pray for God's kingdom to come and his will be done. Now I want to observe the second thing I want to highlight. I love this story. So flip back a few books to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4, and we're going to start in verse 23. Page 1696 in the Church Bible. Acts 4:23. Picture of the early church praying. Here's the word of God. On their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. I love this story. This picture of the early church, this is coming right after Peter and John had healed a man, and then they were thrown in jail for preaching after healing the man. And so when John and Peter come back, the church prays. This is what they do. And as we read this morning, I want us to have that observational learning mindset. We can learn from how they prayed. And so just like the model prayer, they start off with the declaration and recognition of who God is. Right, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Here they're saying, Sovereign Lord, you made the heavens and earth and sea and all that is in them. What a recognition of our Creator and the majesty of God. And then, after recounting what has happened, they pray for boldness. They pray that they may speak God's word as boldly as they can. This is an incredible prayer because recognize and see what they're praying for. They're saying, God, help us continue to walk into situations where our lives might be at risk. What an incredibly bold prayer. Lord, consider the threats against our lives. We just got arrested. We know we're going to get arrested again. And we pray right now that we will not lose heart, that we will continue to tell others the good news no matter the risk. They lay it on the line. We are sold out to preaching the name of Jesus, and we're not backing down, no matter what. Hoorah! Go early, church. We consider the most important thing, not our own personal safety, but telling others about Jesus. And as we observe this morning, look at what they're praying for. They truly are praying for your kingdom come, your will be done, because the kingdom of God is wherever God is reigning and God is ruling and God is restoring this world and humans back to him. And that ultimately looks like people surrendering their lives to Jesus. And that the church is God's plan A to save and redeem the world. That God has sent the church to accomplish this task. And so they are praying for the strength to carry out the will of God, to carry out spreading his kingdom to the world, no matter the personal cost. I can't think of a better way to pray. And so this is the second thing I want us to consider this morning as we think about what it means to pray for your kingdom come and your will be done. It is praying for the salvation of others. That praying for people's salvation is truly the prayer, your kingdom come. That praying for the boldness of God to speak to others, that we need to pray constantly, God, bring people to salvation. That we are a local church gathering of Christians and we want to pray, God, use Stonebridge as your vessel to save others. Pray that every single thing that we do, from every event and every service and every conversation and every meal we share together, God, use these things to bring people to salvation. That this is the heart of God. We know it's the will of God. He wants all people to be saved. And we're his way of carrying that out. Give me boldness to speak up and share what you have done in my life. That's praying your kingdom come. And as I think about evangelism, like this big fancy word for telling others about Jesus, prayer is vital to evangelism. That we don't save anyone. We don't have the power to save anyone. I can't bring anybody back from the dead. Only God can. And so I need to pray that God would do that very thing. God, pray for that miracle. Bring dead people back to life. And I think that prayer helps us keep evangelism in its proper context. And let me explain why. Because for those of us who find it very easy to talk to people, for those of us who maybe a little more natural skill in sharing the gospel or sharing our stories, we need prayer to remind us that it's not us on our own power, but it is God at work. That prayer will keep us humble in evangelism because it reminds us that it's not us. We're not special just because we're extroverts or something or easy to talk to. It's only God's power that can save. And for those of us who find evangelism incredibly scary and daunting, prayer helps us keep our mind on who is truly doing the work. That it isn't us and it is God at work. And it helps refocus our mind to say, God, I find this incredibly scary, but remind my heart as I pray for others to be saved how much you care about them. And it forces those of us who maybe find that a little more scary to lean on God even more, because God calls us all to, whether we're good or not good, that this is the call of the church. Pray for the salvation of others. You don't have to be an expert to share your story. Just cloak it in prayer and say, God, help use what you've done in my life as I share it with the world around me. This has to be the routine of the church. And I've probably shared this before, but I know that my mom and my aunt, who became Christians as teenagers, that they prayed for my grandparents for over 40 years before they finally surrendered their life to Jesus. And Ken shared this morning in the Bible study that Dwayne's cousin, right, he was praying yesterday for his entire extended family who doesn't know Jesus to lift, to save. God even used Dwayne's memorial service as a way for my family to come know God. That this should be the cry of the church. And as I just look out here, I know that there are people in your lives that you are praying for, and you have told me in conversations you're praying for family members and friends, and that this is a good thing. This is what we should pray for, because this is how we pray, your kingdom come, your will be done. And so this morning, I hope that we just looked at two stories or two examples of two different prayers, a prayer of Paul's for a church and a prayer of the early church for their life situation. And I think that this is a good model for us of how to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done. I'm not an expert. I have not exhausted what it means to pray that prayer. But these are some of the things that I've learned and some of the ways that I try to pray, God, your kingdom come, your will be done. And that this life is truly the journey of getting to know God's heart more. And that I connect with Paul's prayer. God, give me a knowledge of your will so that I can see what you are doing. I want your will to be my lifelong pursuit. And so this week, Stonebridge, let's make it a goal to pray. Pray for God's kingdom to come and his will to be done. Pray for the growth and the development of believers that you know, including yourself. Pray for the salvation of others. And I am going to do this week. I'm going to invite all of you. Call me sometime this week at a godly hour. And I'm not a morning person. But call me this week, and we will spend 5 minutes on the phone, and we're just going to pray for someone. You just say, I want to pray for this person, and I'll say, I want to pray for this person. We're just real quick phone call, prayer. And we're going to pray for God's kingdom to be done. And it doesn't have to be me. I'm not some special prayer. I just give you an option. But talk to someone you know in your family. Talk to someone that you're really good friends with. Talk to your pod partner. And just say, make a quick phone call, less than 5 minutes. Say, we're just going to pray for God's kingdom to be done. We're going to pray for the salvation of someone in our life this week. And it doesn't have to be a phone call. It can be in person that we spend time with each other. There's family members in this room together this morning that you probably will be sharing meals this week. And as you pray before the meal because you want to thank God for the incredible blessing of food, pray for the salvation of someone in that prayer. That this should become routine and natural for us. And I want to say this week we can do this. It doesn't have to be a super long prayer. Call me sometime this week. Call someone else in this room sometime this week and just say, hey, I got 2 minutes. I want to pray for this person in my life that they would come to know Jesus. And that we can be that church who is known for praying. That we can be the church that prays, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That we can make this the normal pattern of Stonebridge. And I am convinced that the growth of Christians and the salvation of people in our life is the will of God. And so let's pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So let me pray that. God, Lord, you are so amazing, holy, righteous. Even this morning as we get to see different weather patterns, you're the God of the weather, and we just give you praise. And Lord, we pray your kingdom come. Lord, I pray your kingdom come and your will is done right in this room in our lives, that each and every one of us would grow in our knowledge of your will, that we would grow in our ability to live lives worthy of your kingdom, and that we would please you in every aspect of life. And so I pray for the strength and perseverance to do that. And Lord, I pray their salvation. I pray for the salvation of others. God, that you would save in our midst. And so I pray over this place that you would use this place to bring salvation to people, that you would use our services and our food and our weekly Bible studies and every event and service that we do, and we give it over to you and say, God, use that to save others. And Lord, use our lives as a witness. God, I pray, just like the early church, Lord, give us the boldness to continue sharing the good news of Jesus to those around us, Lord. Help us to step out confident that we are in your will and doing what you've called us to do. And Lord, I just lift up our entire church. God, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen.